Welcome to Run, Thrive, Survive with me, your host, Sierra Carter, the number one podcast for your healthy habits for nutrition and exercise, race reviews from special guests, and everyday motivation. And of course, you guys, surviving life together. Are you guys ready? Let's go. Hey guys, welcome to another beautiful day here on the Run, Thrive, Survive podcast with me, your host, Sierra Carter. I'm so excited to be here today. I've got, quite a few awesome things coming up, and especially today's race review, because I went there last summer in this location and I have not been able to stop talking about it since. So I can't wait to hear somebody else's take on where she ran and what national park she went to. And you probably already know it is Glacier National Park with the Glacier Half Marathon. So that is the race that we're going to be reviewing here today. But a few quick things I want to cover before we get into the nitty gritty about the race that you need to know before you sign up. And I just want to tell you guys and thank every single one of you, every single listener listening to this podcast. We reached 1,000 downloads pretty much within 1 week. You guys are incredible. And if you don't know the story of Run, Thrive, Survive, I pretty much started it about a year ago in the pandemic, trying to help people with their fitness and their mental health, combining it together because it's so incredibly important, especially now that we see the aftermath of the pandemic. Not only did people become less active, but they also became isolated. So I want to bring those two together from a health coach standpoint, not from a therapist standpoint, but from a health coach standpoint, and really get you in the habit, get you ingrained, and get you into something active that you love and that will help you just stay who you are and stay happy and find purpose in your everyday life. Even if you have to go to work every single day, that's fine. You have something on the side that you get to look forward to every day, or just little things to help you throughout the day stay more focused on your job. That's really what this podcast is about. And of course, I love traveling. Lots of people love traveling. So we've got lots of race reviews across the country. And once the world opens back up, I will definitely be bringing in international races. So thank you guys so much. If you heard it from a friend about this podcast, if you've heard this podcast about a friend, be a friend and also share it with other friends who probably might be struggling with the same things and really need this inspiration and motivation, because these guests are awesome. They have incredible stories. We just got done with Boston, the road to Boston last week. Their stories were incredible. Don't miss those. Head back, check those out. And to make sure you don't miss anything, head over to my Instagram at The Runpreneur. I'm Sierra Carter, and hit follow so you can always make sure you're staying up to date with each podcast and all the guests that are on the podcast. And you can also find me there on the same social media, on all the social medias, and on Facebook at Run, Thrive, Survive. So that's where we are at with those. But make sure you hit subscribe to this podcast as well, because it helps grow and brings you more content. So on that note, let's go ahead and get into today's topic with the Glacier Half Marathon. Now, I've got two episodes on the Glacier Half Marathon that you'll notice, because of course, not everybody's experience is the same. And I have two beautiful guests this week talking about their experience with the Glacier Half Marathon that is put on by Vacation Races. If you have not heard of Vacation Races, you should check them out. They are an incredible company that puts on races around national parks, mostly in the West. There's one over here on the East Coast, which is the Smoky Mountain Half Marathon, but they have a lot of ultras, they have a lot of different things, and they're awesome races all around. So if you have not heard of them, go check out Vacation Races at vacationrace.com. I promise you, you're going to see something that's going to inspire you to get out of your comfort zone and go run a half at some national park. And of course, it's also going to help you explore the world, because you know how much I love traveling and running, and putting them together is absolutely incredible. So I've got two guests coming up talking about the Glacier Half Marathon. Their experiences are entirely different. So you're going to get a lot of pointers, a lot of point of views, a lot of tips, tricks, and also ideas of what to hike and what to do when you're out there. Because of course, planning the trip can be stressful sometimes, and I'm here to make it as easy as possible with bringing on people that have been through it, have gone there, and can kind of give you an idea of what you should look out for and what you should do and maybe what's not worth your time. But before we get started with that, I've got to go through the boring details to help you plan your trip. I actually find them super exciting. If you're like me, you love planning, so you love thinking about all of this when it comes to it. So where is this half marathon? So it is at Glacier National Park in Montana. That is outside of Kalispell, Montana, which is a small town. A lot of people will say it's one of the cities up in Montana. If you're out from in the West, you know that when they say cities, it's more of a small town compared to what's on the East Coast. So just note that coming from the East Coast, it's not a big town. It's not a big city. It's a small town. There is a Walmart. I've heard a lot of people talk about there's not a lot of food out there. There is a Walmart, and that's what my friend and I did when we went out there. We just went to Walmart, got a bunch of food, ate snacks the entire time. So just FYI, of course, the guest's going to get more into that, but I just wanted to make that a side note that there is a Walmart. You can actually get food. Don't freak out. I've heard a lot of people freak out that there's not going to be any food out there and there's nowhere to eat. You just have to drive about an hour and a half, maybe to 2 hours outside of Glacier itself, depending on where you go and depending on where you land. So this location is East Glacier Village, Montana. If you're familiar with Glacier, there is quite a lot of ways to get into Glacier. So East Glacier Village is very important to remember. The start time's about 6 a.m. and it goes till about 10 a.m. And the weather there on average in June, again, you guys, it's a hit or miss, is 42 to 69 degrees Fahrenheit. It is perfect weather. I will let you know, coming from the East Coast, it is a drier cool. So what that means is when you're cold, when it's cooler, one, it's not bone chilling. So 42 is not going to be bone chilling like Chicago cold or Florida cold. If you're here in Florida and it's 42 degrees, it's freezing cold because of the humidity. It's nice cold. It's refreshing. And I promise you, it's not going to be bad. You could be cold if you're camping and just when your body gets chilled, but it's a beautiful, chilly cold. So enjoy the weather out there. Now, the course type, and if you're watching this on video, I am pulling the course up, is a point-to-point. So what a point-to-point is you start at point A and you run to point B. You don't loop back to A. So yes, it is a point-to-point race. And a few notes before we analyze the course is, yes, it is stroller-friendly. Yes, it is disability-friendly, but no, there's no dogs allowed. Sorry, guys. I know a lot of us like to bring our dogs. Can't bring it to this one. Now, if you're looking at the video, I'm going to briefly explain it. So just checking the elevation first. Starting elevation is about 5,000 feet, 5,007 feet to be exact, and it goes all the way up. The max elevation is 5,900 feet, almost 6,000. It's about 20 feet from 6,000 feet elevation. So it has about 1,230 feet elevation gain or 1,230 if you look at numbers differently like I do. So that's a large elevation gain. And you can just see looking at the map, even though I see it's a point to point here, the first almost 4, maybe 5 miles is uphill. So it's an uphill battle. It doesn't look like a steep uphill battle, but it's pretty gradual. In some places, it does look like it gets steep, but then you go down and it gets steeper and you go down. So just keep this in mind because that is going to impact how you breathe out there, depending on where you train, and it's going to impact how you run. Again, you want to make sure your running form is perfect when you go up hills, because if you slouch over and you're hunched over, you cut off the air to oxygen in your airways, and it just makes the race a little bit harder. Now, again, once you get to the top around that 5 mile mark, you just fly down and there's a little dip at the end and then you come down. Nothing too major, but once you reach the top, you can take a sigh of relief and keep moving on to the expo. The expo is at Red Eagle Campground. So that is going to be on June 25th this year, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Just an idea. And I'm sure you can always pick up your bib at the start of the race, but to just thin out the crowds due to COVID, try to pick it up at the expo beforehand. Now, the airports that you can fly into, I'm going to tell you guys right now, there's not a lot that is very close to Glacier, but you can fly into Glacier Park International Airport. That's actually located in Kalispell itself. Kalispell is about 1 to 2 hours, kind of depending, from Glacier entrance. Or you can fly in to Spokane, Washington, which is GEG, which is about 4 to 5 hours away.
Now, of course, there's Great Falls and Missoula that you can also fly into, but a lot of these airports, if you're familiar like I am, because I live next to one, they're smaller airports and they're private. So they're going to be more expensive. If you're like me and you really like Southwest, I think the places that Southwest flies in is Spokane, Washington. So that's about 4 or 5 hours away. They also fly into Bozeman, which is about 5 hours away. And they also fly into Salt Lake City, which is 8 to 10 hours away, depending on how fast you drive and how many times you stop. So just giving you an idea there if you're a Southwester like me. And now moving on to lodging ideas is you can go camping, which we're going to talk about in the podcast. You can stay at East Glacier, Browning, or St. Mary. So these are all lodges that are at Glacier, so they're pretty convenient when it comes to the race. But I'm going to give you another suggestion. I went out there last August, and I didn't know what to expect, so we stayed in Kalispell, or a little bit outside of Kalispell. So our place that we stayed was about 2 hours from the main entrance. Honestly, you guys, it sounds long. It's really not that long because it goes through a beautiful views the entire way to the park. And we went there every single day. And honestly, I think it was about an hour, maybe an hour and a half from the entrance of Glacier. And it took us about maybe 45 minutes to another hour to get up to On the Sun Road. So it's really not that far, Kalispell. It's about an hour outside of Glacier entrance. And we stayed at the Lonesome Dove Ranch. Now, I want to give them a big plug because, A, we got to stay in teepees, and they also have tents. There's a beautiful ranch that they are on, and they give you free breakfast every single morning. And this breakfast is fantastic. And if you're there, buy some huckleberry. I'm telling you right now, it's one of the best experiences I've ever had. And if I go back to Montana, I'm staying at the Lonesome Dove Ranch. I found them on Airbnb. I'm sure they're on Vrbo. I'm sure they're on travel.com. I'm sure they're everywhere. They were very reputable, awesome place. And the owners, they were just so sweet. So I 100% would check out Lonesome Dove Ranch if you can't get any closer. Now, at the end of all these races, Vacation Race puts on what they call club hikes. So once you're done with the race, you can be crazy and go on more hikes. And they've got 6 club hikes this time. They've got Grinnell Club, the Scenic Club, Hidden Lake Club, Iceberg Club, and St. Mary's Lake Club. Trail of Cedars and Running Eagle Falls. Sorry, I thought I was done. I had to scroll down to the next page of my notes. So they've got 6 clubs there. 7 clubs, because I can't count. So they've got 7 clubs. And I personally, you can choose any of them. And we're going to see lots of pictures if you're watching here on the video. But Grinnell Lake, that hike, from all the pictures I've seen, is just absolutely breathtaking. There's a lot of pictures and a lot of gorgeous views that people have taken. Grinnell Lake, I did not get to go there because it was closed on the reservation due to COVID and also because of bear sightings. So both ways, I could not get to Grinnell Lake. I would 100% choose Grinnell Lake if you're going to go this time around. So you guys, that is all I have for the nitty gritty getting ready to plan your trip. Now it's time to speak to our beautiful guest. She is so inspiring and she's got so many awesome plans coming up outside of running this half marathon. But she's also got the awesome details to share with you to get you ready to run, to train, and to have the best adventure of your life. Are you guys ready? She's going to come up right after this break.
Join us for the fresh, new For Your Best Self podcast with Drs. Anita Saluja and Rebecca Novo of Dermatology Plus Plastic Surgery. We will reveal the facts about techniques, trends, products, and procedures to be your best self. The first and only podcast combining the synergy of aesthetic dermatology plus plastic surgery. Search For Your Best Self on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify.
All right, guys, now it's time to get into the fun part of the podcast. I've got our beautiful guest here, Ruth, and she's going to be talking about her experience at Glacier Half Marathon. I'm going to tell you right now, just looking at her pictures, this is a gorgeous, gorgeous race. So I can't hear about what it's actually like running it, where she's staying, and just everything about this race. And I went there last year, so I'm going to tell you right now, without running around it, it was gorgeous. I can't imagine being able to run a half marathon there too. So if you're doing this vacation race this year, it's coming up. It's coming up. I think it's in June, coming up really soon. So listen closely, because maybe she's going to add a few things that you're going to want to do to your trip. And if you're listening to the podcast, make sure to check out the YouTube video as well, so you can see her pictures and hike the hikes that she does, because these are breathtaking. So I'm going to give it and hand it off to Ruth. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Who are you? Why do you love running? What got you into it?
Well, I am a wife and a mom and an elementary school teacher. I'm also a high school cross country coach and a, I would say, runner and outdoor adventure lover. Like, I can't get enough of the outdoors. I just love it all. I got into running actually when I was quite young. My mom, probably when I was in grade school, measured the gravel road in front of our home. And it took 5 up and backs to make a mile. And my mom started running those 5 up and backs on the gravel road. And so I would go out and run with her. And it wasn't, I feel like some bodies are built to make running easy. And I feel like I have one of those bodies. And so even as a young girl, it wasn't too hard for me to go out and run a mile with my mom and things like that. So it really was my mom that first got me into doing running. And then I started doing it competitively in junior high and then in high school, and then ran both cross country and track in college.
That's incredible. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Tillamook, Oregon, which if you're on the West Coast, people know the cheese, because there's Tillamook cheese. That's the big thing. So.
Was your driveway steep or was it pretty flat?
Oh, it was totally flat.
Okay. See, that makes it so nice. My parents' driveway in New Mexico is same thing. Going up and down it 5 times is a mile, but it's a 30% incline at like 8,400 feet elevation. So it's not something I enjoy doing, but it's there for punishment when I need to do it for myself. Right. But well, so what got you into races? So you probably ran through high school and you're still coaching cross country. Well, that's so rewarding. But what got you into races, and particularly vacation races? Was it the outdoor adventures? I know you're pretty adventurous with our talk beforehand, because I can't wait to hear what you're doing or getting ready to do. But what got you into vacation races?
Well, I had run a few marathons, and I've run probably more half marathons than I don't even know how many half marathons I'd run.
We lost count.
And so the novelty of running those kind of went away. And so I decided that I was going to transition. And if I was going to put forth the effort, I was going to do it in someplace cool. And so I started looking for fun places to go and run. And I hadn't been much of a hiker until probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And I got into hiking, which then, you know, the national parks are so beautiful and so many great hikes. And so putting that together is really where I, and our family actually had taken a trip where we went to Arches and Zion and all of those, you know, and the Grand Canyon, all of that. And so I kind of got a taste of it there. And then I want to go see all the parks.
It's addicting. It really is addicting, because now they all look so different and you can say you've been there, things happen there, and you're like, I know that place. I see the pictures. So getting into it, before we jump into Glacier, how many vacation races have you done?
I've only done Glacier.
Oh, so Glacier was your first one. Are you hooked?
Yes. Yes, I actually just signed up like a month ago. I'm going with my same friend that I went to Glacier with. She and I in November are going to go to Joshua Tree, and I'm going to do the night run, because I think night runs are so fun too. So, that will be so different than Glacier, totally different. And so that'll make it really interesting and fun.
Completely opposite climates. That's going to be fun. Wow. Yeah. Are you, how far are you from Joshua Tree?
Well, I don't actually know. I'll have to, when I went to Glacier, I actually drove. But I'll have to fly in, to Palm Springs probably when I do, Joshua Tree. So it's a ways.
So why did you pick Glacier as your first one? Was it
I've always wanted to go to Glacier, and it's not that far away. And we have, my family, I have, my husband and two teenage boys, and we kept talking about going to Glacier, and it just kept not working out with our family schedule and things. And so I decided, well, we'll get there someday, but I want to go now. And so this was my way to go and my reason to go. And so I got to go.
Oh, it's so pretty. So going to Glacier, where did you, so you drove in. So mm-hmm. you're coming from Washington or Oregon? Yes. So you're coming from Washington. And yeah. I guess, where did you end up staying? Did you stay close to Glacier? Did you get to stay in some of the cabins, or did you stay pretty far from Glacier?
So I just actually opted to camp in the campground that they recommended. Oh. I think it's called Red Feather or something like that. Okay. I can't remember the exact name. But we opted to camp there, and we actually got there very late Friday evening. And so when we got there, we couldn't find like a specific site, but there was lots of open grass area. And so we just pitched our tent in the open grass, and that was where we stayed the entire time, and nobody cared. And they actually, because we weren't in an actual site, when I went to pay at the end, they didn't take my money because I wasn't actually camping in sight. And so we stayed there for free.
How far outside of the park was that? Was this campsite? Was it close to the park, or was it in the park?
It was like probably 10 minutes or less. Oh, and it was where the race expo was.
Oh, that's so nice. You picked such a good spot. Was anybody else there with you? Like other runners?
There was, that's why I couldn't find sites, because the whole place was like packed out with people for the race.
So they were mostly runners.
I would assume it was for the race.
Right. Well, so was it reserved for runners, or were other, do you?
I think there were other people there as well.
They were probably confused why there's so many runners around them. Yes. Ready and crazy, getting ready to go run a race at break of dawn in the morning. So camping. Did you like the camping experience to run a marathon or a half marathon and to go hiking afterwards? Did you like that experience, or would you change it?
It was fine, but I also am a backpack camper, so I feel like sometimes I don't care quite as much as maybe someone else might.
Right.
I would say the one thing that I wanted to make sure that I said here is that I did not have a backpacking sleeping bag at that point in time. It wasn't rated for, so many degrees. And I froze to death the first night. I was so cold. And so the other nights I actually wore running tights and hiking pants and wool socks and a tank top and a t-shirt and a long sleeve shirt and my down jacket and my rain jacket and my hat with my, and then I put my hood on my down jacket up. And then I wore my buff over my face, and I was warm enough then. So if I could give a piece of advice, if you're going to camp, because it's June, and I live in central Washington, where by June it's 80, 85 degrees every day. And so, they can tell you it's cold, but I feel like you don't really understand until you get there. And it was so cold to try and sleep. And so I would do that differently next time.
That is definitely.
But as far as camping there, it was fine if you don't have a lot of, if you don't need much. There were porta potties and running water and things like that. Nice.
Yeah, no, I think definitely highlighting it's cold. Like Montana, I went up in August and I froze. We stayed in teepees, and I used to live in the mountains thinking, oh, it's not going to be that cold in August. It was in the 30s. June's just the same. It could still snow in June up there. You never know. I know it snows in Yellowstone in June, so that's not much different up near Glacier, near Canada. So key takeaway there is dress for it and don't think you're warm enough. Just keep layering it on. Keep bringing the equipment. So,
and then along with that, but during the day, like in the middle of the day, you could be in a short sleeve shirt, you know, so don't just bring winter clothes either, because then you'll be, you just need a lot of clothes.
You need all climates for every single, any pair of clothes that you have, just pack it into your tiny backpack. So definitely plan for that no matter what time of year you go out, whether it's with the vacation race or not. Now, getting up the next morning, what was the race like itself? So getting to the start line, was it easy? Was it easy running it? Was it well set up? How did Glacier Marathon or Glacier Half Marathon go?
It was really easy. I had an address of the location where the start of the race was. And so I just put it into my, you know, my GPS or whatever. And I got there and got checked in. It was like 3 a.m. that we had to check in. And so I just got there and checked in, and they had fun things going on. They were doing drawings and stuff like that. So it was fun. It was easy. And I was cold waiting, but then, you know, there, I didn't necessarily want to check much. And so I would rather stand there and be cold for a while than have to go dig through the bags at the end and find all my stuff and all of that kind of stuff. So I was cold waiting, but it wasn't like unbearable or anything like that.
Right. And coming from the, for anybody coming from even the East Coast over here, it's a different cold in Montana. It's not a wet cold. It's a nice dry cold. So it feels a little bit warmer than the same temperature over here on the East Coast. At least that's my experience. I could be wrong, but at least I feel like
it's easier.
No, I
would agree with you, because I've been because the humidity is so low, you don't have that moisture surrounding your body at the same time.
Exactly. So now getting into the race, what was the course like? If somebody was getting ready to run this, what should they be prepared for?
I feel like there was a lot of gradual incline. But when I ran it, I didn't go there attempting, like I had no goal as far as time. It's probably one of the slowest half marathons I've ever run, because I was so happy and excited to be there and felt like I was surrounded by so many beautiful things that I kept stopping to take pictures and things like that. So I don't have a ton of great wisdom as far as this is what you need to do to train well to run this race, because that wasn't my heart going into it. I wanted to go and see a beautiful place. And I feel like you can see an area so much differently when you go and run a half marathon or a marathon. You get to see it in a way that nobody else gets to see it. And so it was all about the journey of the race. And so I probably ran 3 to 4 days a week. I did an upper body workout, a lower body workout once a week. And if I didn't get, you know, 3 or 4 days, I was okay with it, because I knew I could get myself to the end. And I did, I was able to do that with how I trained. So
absolutely. I mean, just that main point again, big key takeaway. Running in these beautiful areas, you get to experience things that other people probably just drive through and don't get to experience the same. So that's why it's just so valuable when you're running through these national parks. And like, yes, you're on the outskirts, but you're in the same beautiful view. Now, what was the trail like? Was it rocky or was it on road? Was it?
I remember it mostly being on the road. There was some that was like gravel road a little bit and stuff like that, but it was mostly pavement. I remember going up hills on pavement and things like that. So mostly pavement.
Yeah, that's not too bad, especially if you're not going into a single file line, because I know there's a few races where it seems like it's a true trail race where you are single file line and there is, you know, there's not a lot of passing people. So it's nice that it is on the road, it's wide, and you're still able to kind of maneuver around people if need be. Now, coming to the end, how was the party at the end? I know there's always parties at the end of the race, and I know Vacation Races does it differently, where they actually provide cups because it is a no-waste race. So you don't have any waste at these national parks. But how was the glacier? Like, where did they end?
It was actually at a really, like, a lodge. And I don't know the name of the lodge because I didn't stay there. But if I were going to do it again, if I went, like, with my husband and my boys aren't campers as much as I am, if I went with them, I would probably opt to try and stay in that lodge because it looked really, really nice. And it's right where the finish line is. Aww. And there, you know, the music and the all of the free stuff and the merchandise and all of that stuff. It was super fun. And yeah, just really, really fun.
The swag bags.
I was actually, awesome. I honestly, though, didn't stay there very long because they had the club hikes. And I was so excited to get going and get out on the club hike to get that done too, because I wasn't there that many days. And right. So I wasn't at the finish line for a super long time.
So now transitioning into what you did after the race, what were these club hikes? What do you mean by club hikes? Because I know this is something special that Vacation Races puts on.
So they have three different options, I think, usually, or maybe more. I don't know for sure because I've just done the one race. But if you do one of their three options, one of their hikes, within 72 hours of finishing the race. And then you have to take a picture of yourself with your finish medal at the end of the trail. Okay. Then you send that to them. Then they send you, I don't know exactly what they're called, but they're like the landmark markers like you that are at the top of the mountain that tell you elevation and all of that. You get a magnet with all of the elevation and the name of where you were. Like mine was, I did Grinnell Glacier. And so it says Grinnell Glacier and it tells you like the latitude and longitude and the elevation and all of that kind of stuff, which I'm not necessarily motivated by getting the stuff, but I am super motivated by challenge. And so the idea of this is, something you can do, you know, do this or this. It was just the challenge of it. But that being said, you get it as a magnet. And I love my magnet. I think it's super cool. I'm not a magnet person, but I love my magnet. And it's a really fun way for me to remember it.
And it's so cool because you earned it. You know that you just ran a half marathon and then went and kept hiking, which most people, you know, don't even get to through the first part of the half marathon, plus adding extra miles on just hiking up a mountain. Now, real quick, I want to pull up one of the pictures. So pulling up which one, hold on, we'll just go here. What hike was this? Do you remember this one?
So this is on our way up to Grinnell Glacier.
See, that's beautiful.
On the club hike.
And then I know we have a picture of you with your friend that you ran the race. Yes. Well, here's you.
So this is out on the course. That was just, I was stopping to take a picture with the scenery behind
me. Oh my God, that's gorgeous.
It was so beautiful.
Oh, I see why you just wanted to run it. Instead of just simply race it. And then we do have the one with your friend. Oh, hold on. This is you at a waterfall. Which waterfall was this?
This was actually, I'm trying to remember. Well, it doesn't matter the timing, but this was a hike that we did on another day on the Continental Divide Trail. And this was St. Mary's Falls.
Oh my gosh. See, that almost looks unrealistic in the background. It looks like a painting.
It looks
so pretty. And then this last one, I think this last one, oh, this is Virginia Falls.
Yes, and that's on that same trail, the Continental Divide Trail.
It's absolutely beautiful. And then the last one here, this is you and your friend.
Yes, and that is on the club hike, the Grinnell Glacier hike.
It just looks unreal. If you're listening to the podcast and you're not being able to see the pictures yet, these pictures are just unreal. And were you taking it with a phone or were you taking it with a camera?
Yeah, that was us holding out our cell phones and taking a selfie.
I mean, it just looks unreal. It's just so gorgeous. The lighting is perfect. The lake is just crystal, like turquoise. Oh, so pretty. Wow. Now, what hikes, can you name off the hikes that you went on?
So Oh, go ahead.
I didn't know how many hikes you went on.
So that is another thing that I would change if I were doing it again. And it just logistically didn't work. But we got there on Friday and we had to leave early Sunday morning. Oh. And so we weren't there. So maybe we got there Thursday night, because I know we had one day where the race wasn't happening. But if I had one thing to change, I would change and stay longer, because I feel like I barely scratched this. Like, I still could go to Glacier and spend days and days. So the only hikes that we did were the one on the Continental Divide Trail, and then we did the Grinnell Glacier. Those were the only two hikes that we had. We did go to McDonald Lake, which is, that one's kind of well known because it has all of the, everybody loves the colored rocks and things like that, you know. So there were some other things that we saw, but I don't remember having time to do other hikes besides the ones that I have pictures here from.
I have to ask you, and when you go to the Glacier, you understand. How did you feel about driving up? I think it's to the Sun Road, or is it?
So that was one thing, talking about it still being cold. There was still too much snow on it, and it wasn't open yet in June when we went. So it's always like right on the line whether it's going to be open by then. And they actually opened it like a day or two after we went home.
Oh, no.
So it was not open for us to drive the Road to the Sun.
Oh my God. Oh, that's, oh man. That's,
yeah. So I have to go back.
You do have to go back. But yes. I mean, I had the same problem when we went. Half the trails, well, one, they were closed due to COVID. Or the other half, there were bear sightings on them, so they were all closed. So we only had a few to choose from. Like Virginia Falls was one of them, but we're like, we have to go back because the ones we didn't get to go on Grinnell Trail because that was closed due to a bear, and all these other ones. I think it was like, what was it? Iceberg Trail, another one, Iceberg or something like that trail. It was closed. All of these do the bears. Now, speaking of bears, because we talked about this, I'm going to show a video. And I'm going to go ahead and let you tell the story about when you saw this wild creature in its natural habitat.
So this is my video of the bear that my friend Megan and I got to see while we were there. It was actually so cool because we felt like we had just the most amazing trip. It was super fun. And we were getting ready to drive out to go back to our campsite the last night we were there. And we actually had just said, well, this was a perfect trip, except for we didn't get to see a bear and we wanted to see a bear. And we're driving along, and probably less than a minute later, there is a bear out in the field.
Timing.
And so, like, I can't imagine in the time we had a more perfect trip or experience. It was
absolutely wonderful. Yeah, I mean, I'm just so jealous that you got to see that bear. Oh, you're such a safe distance away. You can enjoy the bear. Wow. That tops off the entire trip. Now, if you went back, would you go back to run the race again, or would you just go back to hike and I guess stay there for a little bit longer period of time? How would you go back?
I would definitely go back and do the, I feel like I'd do either. Like, if I had the opportunity to go and do the race again, I certainly would, because it's so beautiful and
absolutely,
you can't get tired of seeing beautiful things.
No.
But there's so much in Glacier to see that I also feel like I could spend days and days there without having a half marathon and, you know, get lots of great exercise and see a lot of great stuff, too.
Oh, absolutely. There's just so much to do at Glacier, and it's not something you do have to visit it a few times. So I definitely agree with you on that. So just key takeaways from this entire experience. If you could sum up all your advice into one, what would be like this ball of advice you give to runners ready to run it, ready to sign up when they're about to run it? What would that just ball of advice in like maybe a few sentences or less be to them?
I think the main thing would be to enjoy the process. Take the time to stop and take the pictures, and just really soak in where you are, and just the beauty that's surrounding you there, because you don't get to see that, you know, very often. So.
Absolutely. And one more thing that I want to add to the end here, because we talked about it pre-recording, and I think it's just something that's going to inspire a lot of people. What is your next goal? What kind of fitness adventure are you embarking on and getting ready for coming up?
I am actually, so I have been a runner for a long time. I just got into hiking, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. In 2019, I ran a Boston qualifying time. That's awesome. And that is kind of the highlight of like running. And absolutely. So then I felt a little lost. Like, where do I go from here with running? What new goals? Because I always want something new to challenge me. And so since I have been doing the hiking, I decided that I wanted to start doing summiting mountains. And that's so cool. This June, at the end of June, I am going to summit my first mountain with my friend and her daughter, the three of us. And so I have picked, it's Mount St. Helens, and I'm going to do that one. And then next summer, I'm going to summit one that's a little bit taller, with my ultimate goal of summiting Mount Rainier the year I turn 50.
Oh, that's such an incredible goal. And honestly, you can do it. You have, if you're a marathoner, if you run races, if you hike, you have the mind you can set to it. So if people want to join you on this adventure, can they follow you on Instagram? What's your Instagram? Maybe do you have a website?
My Instagram is Royer Ruth.
Awesome.
So it's just my last name and my first name.
And you can follow her. I know last weekend she went on her, it was your first training hike?
Yeah, it was the first hike to start training for the summit the end of June.
And again, the pictures were just so incredible. And again, like you said, you can't just stop. You can't get enough of seeing pretty things, where it's inspiring to want to go do it yourself. So thank you, Ruth, so much for inspiring us and like letting us know what Glacier is going to be like for these people that are going out to run it this summer, which I'm so jealous of. You're going to have a wonderful, beautiful time. Hopefully it's not too soon with too much snow, but you never know. So if you did enjoy today's podcast, please like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever it is. And follow me on Instagram at The Runpreneur. I've got lots of content there, lots of videos and race tips coming up. And of course, fun adventure tips as well. So you guys, thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful night. And as always here on Run, Thrive, Survive, let's run our lives. Bye, guys.